Double Take is an extension of the award-winning movie review show Cinema Classics, which airs Thursdays at 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, this podcast version features additional content and discussion with guests. Double Take is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Wayne Miller.
And this is Double Take.
Yes, John. And shouldn't we be called Jimmy DeSando and Jimmy Miller?
Yes. So I see that this is very common, like butter.
But the interesting thing of this, of course, what we're reviewing is 28 Days Later, The Bone Temple. And this is the second of a trilogy of movies with the zombie apocalypse that was covered decades ago in 28 Days Later. And then 28 weeks later, a few years after that. And then last year, it came back with a robust sequel, 28 Days Later. And this is the second in that in a sequel.
But it was just last year that we had...
It was last... In fact, I went back and looked, and you had reviewed it with a good buddy of ours, Ezra, who is an expert on zombie movies. And he really liked it, and that was like late June.
Yes, I know.
You know, so it was just about six months ago that that came out.
So I'm glad we're clarifying that for our audience.
Yes.
This is not the one I had promoted.
Has several people from the first one, particularly the young protagonist, about 12, 13 years old. Spike was his name, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, Alfie Williams.
At the end of that movie, he wanted to set out on his own. His dad had taken him to the mainland, scrounged for supplies. It also is like almost a bonding experience in that movie. At the end of the last one, he wanted to go out on his own. And he saved from zombies from a strange-looking group of people wearing platinum blonde wigs.
Very much reminding you of Clockwork Orange.
Definitely. This group that we're talking about, and it's led by a guy, excellent actor, Jack O'Connell. And John, he's made a name for himself just this year alone, because he was the main jig-dancing Irish lead vampire in Sinners. His name is Jimmy Crystal. He says his full name, Sir Lord Jimmy Crystal. These young adolescents, he takes under his wing, kind of like Fagin and the Artful Dodger and the Little Pickpockets.
The Jimmies, that whole group.
He calls them Jim. Everybody gets a Jimmy name.
Everybody gets a Jimmy. Are not hit by the virus.
No.
But they're going out and killing people who haven't been hit by the...
And this is one thing. People are fans of The Walking Dead. The living, the uninfected, the bad ones, are nearly as bloodthirsty and evil as the poor Walking Dead.
What I like about this series, different from... I'm not a big zombie fan.
Yeah.
But what I like about this is it's ambivalent toward human beings.
Oh.
The good are bad, the bad are good, and it's just like life.
A really pure zombie movie. Zombies aren't really featured that much, except one person that we'll discuss, I'm sure, more later. This movie's mashup of a lot of other genres. The killer cult, like you mentioned, like a Manson family, a killer cult, Jimmy Crystal and all of his little Jimmies. Or he calls them fingers.
Don't be disappointed. For all those zombie fans out there, there's plenty of body horror in this.
Full frontal nudity. My oh, my goodness.
It's the second of the trilogy?
28 years later.
Okay. Yeah. In the last one, last year, the real standout was Ralph Fiennes.
Yes.
As the former physician.
Yes.
Scientist who...
The whole, you know, how they have like little upside-down crosses carved into their forehead. He wears a necklace, a pendant of one. But yeah, Ralph Fiennes is this doctor. It looks like he's nearly as bloody as a zombie victim.
Yeah.
But he coats himself with iodine that he figures out can ward off the zombies getting to. And this is another type of genre that I think this movie touches on. Frankenstein. He's trying to find a cure for the infected. And he takes in this huge, in more ways than one, zombie that he nicknames Samson, who was in the last summer's 28 years later, ripping, including the spines, heads off of people. But anyhow, he takes them in and gives them morphine, drugs them up a little bit, and is trying to find a cure.
They have the, and I have to give credit to Alex Garland, who is the writer, as you know from Ex Machina and Civil War. The guy is a powerful force, both in writing and directing. And this one, he has thrown something in there that I've never seen before. That is, our scientist, played by Ralph Fiennes, is somehow developing a bond with this zombie.
A one-sided conversation, but as they kind of sit down, they get high, you know, stoner bros, high on their morphine. At first I'm thinking, wow, this is a lot like Frankenstein. Yeah. The monster and how the Dr. Frankenstein tries to bond with the monster, it's more like Pygmalion or the musical version, My Fair Lady. Mm. Professor Henry Higgins and the little Cockney urchin woman, Eliza Doolittle, older master and his young mentee.
Yeah, and a centuries-long, a humanity-long urge of ours to replicate. And this is the science part, to be able to duplicate.
Yes.
It's very difficult, and it's fraught. One of the things that our scientist likes so much is that he sees the possibility that it can cure the zombie.
Yes, yes, that there may be a cure out there for the infected, which has been explored in some other zombie movies, and particularly also the TV series The Walking Dead. Don't kill the zombies. There could be a cure, and we could cure them. After so many years, these zombies are looking pretty long in the tooth, walking on crushed leg, crawling along and decomposing and looking pretty bad, except for Samson.
Got to give credit both to Garland and to Danny Boyle, who's a moving force in this. And
right.
He's directed to at least one of these and is coming back for the third.
Okay, he's coming back to direct. Because he did last summer's 28 Years Later and the original 28 Days Later.
He has recruited to do this one.
Yes.
And she apparently made notice with Candyman a few years
ago.
And she does quite well in this.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. Different cinematography styles of both Doyle and 28 Years Later had more of a handheld found footage to feel for it. Whereas this one has made it more of a traditional cinematography, some of the swish pans and other tropes of cinema verite.
Yeah. Well, Wayne Miller, what do you recommend for 20 Years Later, The Bone Temple?
Yeah, it could mean two things. You know, it could mean all the statuary that Ralph Fiennes' character has made, or the full frontal nudity of Samson. If somebody likes their zombie movies, they'd like this one. But boy, like Ezra said in his review with you, 28 Years Later, an older teen. This is not a movie for the young at all. Very disturbing details.
Well, it's probable that Cindy, our concierge, has kept out any of these rogues coming in here.
Well, since she packs heat, you know, I think she probably has. But, John, the one thing, too, going back to recommending the movie for zombie people and also for those who, when I buy a DVD of a movie I like, that's something I will watch over and over again. And 28 Days Later is one of them. This movie, like 28 Years, the sequel to this movie, the direct sequel that was out last summer, it left you with a cliffhanger and some unanswered questions. And boy, you talk about this one, The Bone Temple. It has, at the end, I could have fallen over like a dead zombie in the theater at the ending of this.
Well,
and boy, it sure sets up for the sequel.
There always has been some emphasis on those people who are trying to avoid the zombies as opposed to the zombies themselves.
Yes.
Our directors and writer, Garland, don't seem to be as fascinated by how gory they can make it.
Yeah.
They just seem to be fascinated by how human beings turn out.
Yes, and not even zombie movies, but any post-apocalypse type of movie, they're going to explore how bad the living could be. You know, and John, you know that I'm a big crime buff, and one of the things I kind of like, I never really fully understood until this movie, because this movie's kind of deep on a number of levels.
Mm-hmm.
One of the deep things is that there is a choice of will of bad humans, the uninfected, who turn bad. And so in crime, insanity defense, that if somebody is insane or has some mental defect, they can be found not guilty because of that.
Oh.
And so in a way, zombies are like people who commit something are not guilty because of a mental defect, as opposed to those with a free will who know the difference between right and wrong.
If Hamlet is insane, there's no tragedy.
Yes. Yeah.
He can't be held responsible.
Right.
So right. It's very important to determine whether a character is sane or not, just as recent assassinations.
Well, you do. Yes.
Before you do anything, you have to determine.
Yeah. Like the guy that took the shot and wounded Ronald Reagan back in 1980, yeah. And he had the fixation on Zodie Foster. He was found not. Of course, they locked him away in a mental institution.
Well, the first thing they did with Goring when they got him was to find out whether he was capable of standing trial.
Exactly.
So this is a very important point concerning justice.
Yes.
Now, these days, we don't apparently have any need to do that. We'll just bomb people and we'll just murder them. Anyway,
didn't even do the crime. But, you know, and that's why I think the Samson character in the Bone Temple is really kind of fascinating. As he begins to become more human, looking a little more human, even wearing a little loincloth to cover up his nakedness. But he remembers, he goes to an abandoned, decrepit train, and he has a flashback remembering riding the train as a kid. A certain level of sympathy for the Samson character that you could understand why Ralph Fiennes found him a fascinating companion.
And I first noticed him in Schindler's List.
Yes, yeah.
And I think he's up on the roof picking off of prisoners when they come
out. Yes, yeah, just
he's
for sport.
Really,
picking off the concentration camp victims.
Then most recently, Conclave.
Conclave. Where
at the Vatican, as they're trying to determine the new Pope.
And, of course, Harry Potter fans is a Voldemort.
Right.
That the big baddie in the Harry Potter movies.
To appreciate way back in 2018, where he played Moriarty.
Yes.
In Holmes and Watson.
He'd make a great Moriarty. He's got that intensity. He's not more of the handsome pretty boy that his younger brother, who's made a name for himself in movies.
Back in 95, joined him in The Avengers as he played Steed.
The movie wasn't very good.
No.
But he was excellent in it.
Yeah, he was in The English Patient.
Oh, which was his really first kind of claim to fame. Yeah,
it was 95.
Yeah, okay.
93 was Schindler's.
Yeah, okay, yeah. But The English Patient, which he was scarred up. Okay. And that's where the young French nurse trying to nurse him back to health. But fascinating part of this movie is the discussion that he has with Sir Lord Jimmy Crystal. And Jimmy Crystal talking about how, for everybody, the world really ended in 2002. Which was when the very first 28 Days Later came out. Mm-hmm. And so here it is, 2030 probably, in 2000. And he was talking about that. And he saw almost making him a rather sympathetic character, but he's talking about seeing his family wiped out by the infected, by the zombies.
Well, the film has really two parts, as far as I'm concerned. One between science and the other and with a religion.
Good
if
point.
You want a real treat, stick around to look at the Christ imagery.
Oh, yes. Especially crucifixion. Yes, so they're hanging him upside down.
I know.
Pleasure. End to
this is Jimmy.
The lead Jimmy.
Jimmy
Jack Crystal.
O'Connell.
He orders his underlings to do the killing, yes. You know, and torturing and flailing alive.
Little
people.
Spike.
He puts a little platinum blonde wig on him.
Yeah.
An interesting thing, it was inspired by a TV personality in Great Britain, Jimmy Savile.
Oh, I know.
And that was
after
his death, it was discovered that he did all this horrible child abuse and, you know, on children.
He was well known. He had access because he was a charitable, an entertainer who was known for his charity.
And that, and especially children's charities, and that's where he would troll for his victims. But he had this platinum blonde hair. And so that's one of the last things Jimmy Crystal remembered. And that's why he adopted the whole thing of being Jimmy, naming all of his little teenage underlings Jimmy.
As much as I like this, 28 years later, The Bone Temple, and this, as it will be, a trilogy, and I think a very fine job with the collaboration of Danny Boyle,
Garland, and
Alex Garland.
Yes,
you couldn't get better.
Screenwriter, yes.
But when I juxtapose this with some of my favorites.
Okay.
The favorites, really.
Your favorite zombies?
Well, my favorite horror films. Let's say that.
Okay.
And I think of most recently A Quiet Place. And I guess what I really love about that is that I never see my monsters till the end.
Exactly. Almost Spielberg doing the shark in Jaws.
Yes, yes.
You know, kind of holding off on that some of that.
Anticipation.
Yeah. Well, you know, another one that's like that in some of his horror films now is Jordan Peele.
Yes.
Because the spaceship.
Very sophisticated. Good choice.
The spaceship in Nope. Fleeting glimpses.
And looking back at Ralph Fiennes again, one that I like very sophisticated was The Menu.
Oh, yes.
Where he plays the chef.
Yeah. Bringing people on the island or whatever, you know, for the meal. And, you know, be careful because what you eat, you may be, you know, wind up yourself.
And I think I know I have a sympathetic ear.
Yeah.
How can you beat Nosferatu?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't even care if it's the old original.
Right.
Or his Klaus Kinski. It's such good material.
But, you know, you stop to think, and that the whole thing of invasion, like the zombie apocalypse, zombie invasion. And here in Nosferatu and several of the better vampire movies, an invasion of vampires, this quiet place. And here we get an invasion from outer space. And all these subgenres of the horror genre, some of the better ones explore how bad humans are, either the uninfected in zombie movies or even in extraterrestrial invasions. Because you always have some that are some bad humans who are not altruistic, but they're out for themselves.
And then you can have bad rats.
Yeah.
And we, like 3 years ago in The Last Voyage of the Demeter.
Yes, yes, the rats. Yeah.
So
or even ones going back or earlier, like the movie Ben, you know, with the memorable Michael Jackson score, which was a sequel to the guy who raised rats.
We're still aware of good stuff, and I think the Conjuring.
Kind of the demonic invasion, you know, like The Exorcist.
Megan.
Oh yes, the little robot girl. Oh, I love that.
Megan is a good one, but we love Megan, and you particularly get a kick out of her.
Oh, I love her. You know, I'd like to buy one just to have her sicker on people I don't like. Which is funny because neither one of us really cared for the sequel that much.
Megan
2.0 or whatever.
So it's different. And it appeals to different people at different times.
Exactly.
Another one that I find is much more subtle than 28 years later, any of them, is The Black Phone.
Oh, yes. Yeah, with Ethan Hawke.
Right, yeah.
And that sequel was very different from the original Black Phone 2. Very good. Hey. Well, we like to be scared.
Yes. I still go back to maybe my favorite of them all.
Oh.
This is too many years ago, and why do I keep... Maybe because I went to Georgetown that I had.
The Exorcist.
The Exorcist. Yeah.
That takes place in Georgetown.
Yeah,
and then you say that you saw that famous staircase.
Oh, I used to go down it all the time, down to M Street.
Father Damien.
Yeah, I took more than one lady, including one of my wives, down those steps.
You didn't throw her down the steps.
Well,
like
I didn't
the
know the possibilities.
The priest and the exorcist.
You're right.
You didn't know the possibilities.
Who would have known?
Well, you know, you brought up, and there's one that I'm looking forward to seeing this weekend, and that you reviewed last week with my niece.
Oh, yeah.
Primate.
Yes.
Because Primate, kind of like Jaws, or a lot of these, Beth brought up the rabid dog and Cujo, bears, and the animal attack. It goes way back to like 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea with the giant octopus.
Yeah, you're right. And I think you're going to enjoy what we always enjoy, which is holding back. And you mentioned Jaws as the classic example.
Oh, yeah, holding back.
Poor Spielberg just had trouble with the animatronics, but then it turns out to be much better to make him wait a half an hour to see anything of the shark.
Yeah.
And anticipation is a great part of all this.
That led up to that very first full sighting of the shark, what led up to one of the most memorable lines in cinema. We're going to need a bigger boat.
All right, Wayne Miller.
Okay.
We're in the second part of a trilogy. It's called 28 Years Later.
Yes.
The Bone Temple.
Yeah.
What do you recommend?
I recommend it to zombie fans and people or horror fans of any stripe, and particularly sit through the entire thing because it has a humdinger of a twist ending.
Look, there's plenty of zombie horror in this for the hard cases.
Yeah. It made me hungry again. I felt like going out, you know, getting some brains of pâté.
It's one of the reasons that we have Ezra Hoover, our dermatologist, on here to protect our skins.
Yeah.